George, you called my father...
Miss Morphy, your longtime friend Alice, and now my Alice too, has done me the stunning honor of agreeing to be my wife. Now, where's that young Jack of yours?
Jack?
He must share in the celebration, must my fine young Mr. Bennett. In the laboratory, is he?
I think so, yes.
Industrious fellow. Bennett's last task today shall be to bring up a bottle of our finest. And you, my pretty pale daughter, shall play. Play!
You are pale, Edith. And I think in no mood for playing.
No. No, I don't think
this has come as an utter surprise to you.
Well, of course. There's been no hint that such a thing...
I know. We have been very discreet. We allowed no suggestion that matters were developing in this way until we were entirely sure of each other. Today was his third proposal, in fact.
Alice, Thomas Wellwood. You and he, I thought, were...
Young Mr. Wellwood is pleasant company, and I know he has high hopes, indeed high intention of making his career in the bank a sound one. But no more than sound. There are no Newtons or Galileos in the science of money. But your father's work now, and further attainments are ahead for him. You must know that. I'm not speaking of merely material success, Edith. Your father's work of itself is endlessly fascinating.
Alice?
Yes?
I think I must take your advice. This headache is one of the more immovable ones. I'd best go lie down for a while.
Of course. We'll talk more later.
Excuse me, Alice.
Edith?
I'm sorry, Alice. I do feel rather faint.
Oh, a moment only. You and I have been friends since childhood. I want us still to be friends.
Do you?
Well, of course. And more than that, let me be frank. When your father and I are married, we will, of course, live here. But you mustn't think of me as your... Oh, but that's too absurd even to say. We shall be like sisters, Edith. Sisters.
Edith? Miss Presbury, are you feeling unwell?
What is it, Edith? Dr. Watson?
There's no need to continue if you don't feel up to it. You've told us enough for the moment.
I must tell you about last night.
Edith, if you're unwell, you mustn't force yourself to say more.
It was Roy that woke me, I think. Certainly he was barking from the stables when I was fully awake. And I know I was. I was awake. I remember thinking, is my door locked? But of course, it always is these days. The moonlight at the window was so bright. I could see quite clearly what was there.
What was there? At the window, you mean?
In the square of light. My father.
What?
My father's face. Pressed against the window pane.
But your room is... It's on the second floor.
One of his hands was raised. As if he'd been about to push the window up. If that window had started to rise, I know I'd have gone mad. There have been times when I thought I am already, but... It was no delusion. He was there for about 20 seconds or so, and I couldn't move. Even when he vanished, I still couldn't budge. Paralyzed. All I could do was lie and shiver until dawn. Then at breakfast, he didn't mention it.
And did you?
No. I made an excuse to come to town. Here I am.
Curious. Most curious.
Curious? It's uncanny.
But last night, so soon, that is curious. Do you have something in mind, Holmes? Yes. An inn in Cambridge. You, Mr. Bennett, shall return to your duties with as normal a manner as you can pretend while your fiancée remains in London. Your visit can be prolonged, Miss Presbury.
Yes, easily.
And you and I, Watson, if you can without too much inconvenience uproot yourself from practice and domesticity, you and I shall for the next few days be in the most pleasant surroundings of that ancient and commendable hostel, the Chequers Inn. The linen is above reproach, the port above mediocrity. There now. You agree about the port?
It's very fine.
Now that we're properly refreshed, we're fit to discuss the case. What's your opinion?
Mine? You want my opinion?
Why shouldn't I?